Hi, this is Mike Verdiccio. Welcome to another podcast here on confidenceandjoy.com. Thanks for taking the time to listen. It's Friday, March the 2nd, 2012. All right, this is going to be part two on the love of God. If you missed the podcast I did right before this, you might want to stop this one, go back and listen to that, because I'm really not going to review what we covered in the first one. And before this podcast is over, you will see just how powerful the love of God really is. You see, understanding and seeing and accepting how much God loves you, you can now love others. And Jesus Christ demonstrated that really dramatically. On that night which we call the Last Supper, Jesus Christ taught his disciples a number of things, and he vividly demonstrated the love of God to them. Just knowing the Eastern culture concerning washing of feet gives you great insight on how far Jesus went to show them how to love. In the life and times of the Bible, only the lowest servant would ever wash the feet of guests coming to somebody's house. But if the guest was royalty, then the master of the house washed the guest's feet, signifying to them that he considered them very important. He considered them as royalty. So maybe you can understand why Peter objected. No wonder he objected. You're not washing my feet, no way. Peter knew it was a job either for lowly servants, or, secondly, Jesus was the host. He certainly didn't see himself as royalty. Then when Jesus told him that if he wouldn't let him wash his feet, then he'd have no part with him, and you remember what Peter said. Okay, wash my feet, my head, my hands. Remember I mentioned that love is giving, regardless of whether it is deserved or earned? And love is giving without requiring anything in return. Doesn't this act of loving service, washing their feet, doesn't that fit into all three of those things? It sure does. You know, it was later that same evening that Jesus told them, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now, it wasn't the only time that he talked to them about loving, but this was a very interesting way of speaking about love. If you have love one for another, then people will know that you are my disciples. That makes you wonder, doesn't it? Why are there so many Christians so unloving to their Christian brothers and sisters? Many of them have replaced love one for another with contempt one for another, criticism, judgment, condemnation. I mean, I'm just saying, Jesus said, "If you have love one to another, then shall all men know that you're my disciples." You know, the Bible says that if God so loved us, we ought also to love others. And if we're truly loving, that doesn't mean just being tolerant or just accepting someone or just being nice or just doing what you're supposed to be doing. No, love's much bigger than that. Love is giving, and love is giving regardless of whether it's deserved or earned or not, and love is giving without requiring anything in return. You know, in the epistle of 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, you'll see a number of great attributes concerning the love of God. And I know that chapter is in the context of spiritual matters. I understand that, but the truths about the love of God are still valid for all of life, aren't they? And when you look at those attributes about the love of God there in 1 Corinthians 13, you certainly see attributes and qualities that God has, right? Like kindness and long-suffering, not easily provoked, and other things. I can love with the love of God if I want to. I can love God's way. If God so loved me, then I ought to love others also, right? You know, the last verse in 1 Corinthians, it says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these three is charity." Now, faith would be better translated believing. It's the same word that they translate both faith and believing. And the word charity is translated love most of the other places. It's the word agapeo. This is very interesting. The Bible says that of those three things, believing, hope, and love, the greatest of those three is love. Now, you might just think, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me that love is greater than believing? No, I'm not trying to tell you that. It's just what the Bible says. The greatest of those three is love. Well, just how big does God see love? How big do you see love? You know, people can say what they want to say, but God says the greatest of those three is love. Maybe that's why in the first part of this chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it talks about if you have believing where you can move mountains and have all knowledge and do all these great and wonderful things without love, it doesn't profit you anything. It's nothing. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but the love of God builds up. And if there's one thing that everyone needs, and you know it, it's to be built up. Don't we need to be built up, edified, encouraged? The love of God builds up. So again, why is it that so many times well-meaning Christians who have great zeal and enthusiasm end up being very critical and judgmental? The Bible says we are to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, right? Well then, shouldn't we also love one another even as God has loved us? That's exactly what the Bible says to do. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Jesus Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself. And just how should we love? Well, if it's really the love of God, if we're really doing what the Bible says, being imitators of God as dear children, then we love by giving, regardless of whether it is deserved or earned or not. We give without requiring anything in return. That's how God loved. That's how Christ loved. Shouldn't we love that way also? You know something that I believe, I don't think we're ever going to know the extent or just how powerful the love of God really is. Again, the Bible says of these three things, believing, hope, and love, the greatest is love. I think sometimes we really underestimate the power of love. I think we underestimate what it can do for people. A loving, kind gesture, a kind, loving word, when we really walk with that love of God towards others, not expecting anything in return, knowing they don't deserve or earn our love. You know, I can't love him because, come on, just love. God so loved us. God loved us when we were, what does the Bible say? When we were enemies, when we were without God and without hope in this world, when we were aliens, when we were separated from God, he still loved us. We can love too. I'd like for you to listen to a quote. I think this just might blow your mind. Here's the quote. If I told patients to raise their blood levels of immune globulins or killer T cells to bring on healing, no one would know how. But if I can teach them to love themselves and others fully, the same change happens automatically. The truth is, love heals. That quote's from Bernie Siegel. He's an MD. This is from Love, Medicine, and Miracles. Isn't that just amazing? To raise your blood levels of immune globulins or killer T cells by loving yourself and loving others. Just how powerful is the love of God? It's so very powerful, and it's a choice. It's a decision. We can choose to love with the love of God if we want to. And always remember, God's the one who initiated love. He loved us first. We did nothing to earn or deserve his love. God is love, and he clearly demonstrated that love by giving his only begotten Son for us. So now, we love him because he first loved us. And God's love for you will never, ever waver. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. It is yours for all eternity. And so, if God so loved us, then we ought to love others also. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And when it comes to believing, hope, and love, the greatest of those three is love. Well, that's it for this podcast. If you have a comment, please go ahead and type it in down below. If you're a subscriber to this blog, you don't ever have to check to see if I've posted something new. You'll get notified personally every time I post something new. And it doesn't cost you anything to become a subscriber. It's free. If you do, as my way of saying thanks, I'll give you a free lifetime membership to my site, Enriching Your Life Now. There's a link with some information down below. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, this is Mike Verdicchio. Have a great day.